And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning. It's 7:05 on January the 19th, 2011. It's going to be a great day today, and Linda will be talking about that in a minute. But we're joined, of course, by Bad Bob.
Good morning. I love living in this county. Just the scenics from the last 24 hours.
You know,
the visuals.
Yes.
The moon glow.
Last night. When I was driving home, of course, or the sunset, it was a beautiful sunset with the pink and all that. And then last night when I was taking Elk Killer out, keep trying to keep her from jumping the 12-foot fence.
Well, I kept thinking the light was on.
The light's always on when you're here. And speaking of that, here's Linda.
Good morning. No, really, I thought that there was a light on in the house because we have, you know, windows going out to the back yard, of course. And the way that the moon had positioned at that particular moment was it was shining in on the hardwood floors. And I thought, you know, and so I look in the back and it was just awe-dropping or jaw-dropping or I was awestruck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awe-dropping. Here we go.
And with people coming in on 44 this morning got the sight of the moon over Shasta Bali setting through the clouds, and it was very cool.
Absolutely gorgeous. I wondered how many people went outside last night to really see that was a beautiful sight and a great way to start the new year with a kind of a confirmation about it's going to be a fabulous year. It is what you make it. Today is going to be 67 and sunny.
Yesterday was over 70.
Beautiful day. Tonight, a clear with the full moon again and a low of 42. Tomorrow, same, 64. It's sunny and mostly clear tomorrow night. So we have a beautiful forecast. This is time for an evening stroll, to kind of bundle up and take an evening stroll, I would say.
I think so.
Bundle up and take an evening stroll, I would say.
I think so.
Also on this day, this is funny. I love to talk about this. Wednesday, January 19th it is, but on this day, the first film previews appeared in Variety magazine on this day in 1907. The magazine had only been in print 2 years before it expanded its section covering new vaudeville acts in order to include reviews of films. Critics were kind in these days before talkies. Maybe they didn't bother reading the subtitles and just reviewed the action, but the first film to receive the critics' praise was a comedy titled An Exciting Honeymoon. It was just 7 minutes long. The other first Variety film review was the 13-minute movie, The Life of a Cowboy. The critics gave that 2 thumbs up, saying it was so melodramatic in treatment that it acted on the audience like a vivid play. So today, thumbs up.
Those first cowboy movies were all filmed out like in New Jersey, too.
Were they?
Yeah, New Jersey, New York, because that's where the film industry started. So they didn't go very far.
Well, Carl, as we're going to say this again, Carl really is a Western aficionado. He's collected, and that's how we met. We met at an award show in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Hilton, where they had the Golden Globes the other night, when Carl showed up, and it was a tribute to the Westerns, screenwriters, stuntmen, all of the actors in the films, and you happened to be on leave and really wanted to attend this event called the Golden Boot Awards.
Yeah, it was great.
So you know that stuff. I wouldn't have known that. Silent Ones were filmed in New Jersey.
Hey, I want to do a shout out.
Okay.
For Doug Craig. Dr. Doug Craig has a show, of course, on our station called The Wake Up Call. But he also blogs on the Record Searchlight. And as many of you know, I started a blog on Veterans Affairs. Started a blog on, and you're hearing this in the background because Bob has got his computer turned on with the sound. And I started a blog on the Record Searchlight also, and I've had a couple of entries in there. It's about Veterans Affairs and things that can, I believe that some information and that can help veterans, their dependents, families of our warriors that have, you know, of any age. And that's what I'm going to try to do. And Doug wrote about it in his blog, Welcome Me Aboard, and talking about how our warriors are not, in many cases, we send them off to war, but we don't have the facilities to take care of them when they come home. And I thought that was very nice of the doctor, and so I say thank you. And the comment underneath it was, that they hope that Mr. Bott will be able to address this in a nonpartisan manner, and then in parentheses, unlike the right-wing conservative stuff he has on his station. So, you know, it was I kind of thought that was funny. It was kind of like he kind of rubbed my head and then kicked me in the butt at the same time. Not Dr. Craig. This was a commenter underneath.
Ah.
Not Dr. Craig. He is too much of a gentleman for that. No. This was somebody that commented that. And you know, commenter, I hope you listen to the programs and listen to our shows and read the blogs. I hope you read the blogs, and I hope you have comments, please, you know, on how to make it better, to give me more information. You know, because that's the big thing is the information that comes out. And one of the things we're going to be talking about this week on the blog is the fact of the proposed changes in the cuts to the veterans programs right here in California, right here in the Golden State. We talked a little bit about it yesterday with our guest. Hey, today, we got to take a break, but today we're going to be talking that Charter City vote, what happened at the city council with Gary Catt, and then at 8 o'clock, Sheriff Tom Pasinko. Join us after these messages. Carl Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. And we're streaming on KCNR1460.com. You can also jump in there, just like Dennis did, and chat with us on that. And we like to have our chat room filled up. 7:14 in the morning, January the 19th. Okay.
Let's go to the phones.
John.
No, he's going to call back.
Oh, okay.
Going back. Well, then why do you have it written down there?
Because to confuse I didn't get a chance to erase it before we get on the break.
Stop arguing with me, Bad Bob.
Hey, you
just
know what?
Before, nod your head.
Before we go a little bit further, I just wanted to talk to you about, we've got some tickets to give away this morning, of course. It's for the Seroptimus International of Reading's Mardi Gras event at the Reading Convention Center. That's going to be January 29th. We have two tickets right now. If you call 605-4567, our hotline, we'll make sure you get to go to that fun evening. And also, I'll put on your calendars, February 5th, of course, it's the Shasta Women's Refuge Crab Feed. So we wanted to, of course, keep you informed on some of the big things going on in town.
We have free tickets now for the Mardi Gras, 605-4567. Don't make me beat you on this for next 2 hours, but we will keep bringing it up until they're given away. And we may just do that, go walk next door and hand it to those people. Anyway, some big things. I mean, we've just got, like, tons of things to talk about today. And a lot of guests. You know, here's a headline on Record Searchlight, and this is something I have suspected for a long time. It's a new study provides a disturbing answers to questions about how much students actually learn in college. Not much. The research of more than 2,300 undergraduates found 45% of the students show no significant improvements in the key measures of critical thinking, complex reasoning, and writing by the end of their sophomore year. One problem is they aren't asked to do much. You know, it's funny. You know, both my nephews, after they graduated from high school, when they went off to college, now they had been going to a private school, but when they entered school, and one was at the Citadel, and one was at the University of Tennessee, they both said that their first year was they just barely went to class because they were learning nothing. They had higher learning processes in high school, and so I'm beginning to wonder. You know, when people go into classes with 400 or 500 people, and they're sitting there in these big lecture halls with 300 people, and I've done that, I'm sure many of you have. How much do you really learn in there? You turn in a paper. So this book that that the author wrote on. About the college, about academically adrift, limited learning on college campuses. Half of the students did not take a single course requiring 20 pages of writing during their prior semester. 20 pages. I mean, it does seem like we wrote a lot more than that. Just one of the things that when you're looking at it. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Jay.
Now, come on, Carl. You learn all kinds of stuff in college.
Well, we're not
you learn to be
about
an atheist, you learn to be a communist, and you learn that you need to vote Democrat.
Well, you know, obviously, the school I went to might have been a little bit different. I'm not even sure they talked about that, but they were really big into rodeos. I went to a college in the center of Washington State called Central Washington State College. Then now it's Central Washington State University, even though it's the same number of people, probably like 6,000 there.
And but university just sounds so much more prestigious.
It does, and you know, and the thing is you can't just say that all colleges and universities are like this. But this statistic, I know that, but this statistic that they're citing is kind of a scary one, that we're not teaching our college students in complex manners of thinking, and we should be. You know, they should start learning that in grade school, the different complexity levels, of course.
Well, you know, I have a cousin who went to UC Santa Barbara, you know, very good school, got a graduate's degree and a couple of different bachelor's degrees. You know what she does for a living?
No.
She's a cab driver.
Well, it's because that you've got, a cab driver doesn't mean that you're not educated and an active part of our community, as you've proven.
But she could have skipped $100,000 in college fees for it.
Well, how do you know that this isn't, like, I mean, she's gaining more insight and is going to write a book someday.
Well, I'm not saying that it's anything wrong being a cab driver. I'm proud to be one, as you well know. But
yeah,
I'm just saying, I didn't spend $100,000 to become a cab driver.
Well, I guess that there's... Yeah, but you know what? She has found maybe something that gives her peace and it gives her the bliss that she's been searching for.
Right, right. But, I mean, I know I'm using generalizations here, but oftentimes... As that study showed, a lot of the stuff that they're learning, they're not really going to use in the real world.
Well, the thing is, too, is that, you know, these are statistics that these guys have, and as you know, 85% of the statistics are made up on the spot. So.
Yeah, well, you know, what is it? There's lies, darned lies, and then there's statistics.
Yep, that's it. Okay, Jay.
So anyway,
you
guys have a great day.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks, Jay. We'll see you later.
I have a girlfriend who's had a double master's. And ended up with that education, and just it was not just because whatever you do, if you do it well, then I think it's noble. And she was an excellent server. She had a kid at home, and that's what she decided to do. And I still think she's doing that today. She also was doing music, but that she enjoyed that. She had good friends and worked in a really good place. And so there you go.
You know, we've got to take a break, but before, it says J.P. Morgan admits military mortgage mistakes. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company admits it overcharged 4,000 members of the U.S. military on their mortgages and accidentally foreclosed on 14 homes. Well, I had a home loan with Chase when I was over in Iraq, and I don't even want to begin to tell you how badly these people treated me and what I had to do because of their mistakes. And there are, and I'll be covering this in one of the blogs about the Army and Navy, or the Sailor Soldiers Act that protects the military while they're deployed. A lot of people don't realize this, but they can't do things to you as they did to me over there. And finally, when you have to invoke it, then they back off. But anyway, at least they're trying to fix it. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
We shared love and
welcome back to Free Fire Radio at KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media.
Play a little of that in the backyard tonight with a full moon. You
there
might
you
get
go.
Lucky.
That's not enough. That's it. Bad Bob's playing it because on the break we were sitting to roll around the floor punching each other.
Keep going and wait. Here we go, Barry. Yeah, the slow dance.
That was when the music was fun, you know?
7:25, January the 19th. It's going to be a great day today. Carl on the bot. Chat room's going, and we've got Coach Bob on the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Coach Bob.
I wanted to thank both of you for the 4 free tickets you got me last week to see Jason Coleman last night at the auditorium, the piano player's grandson of Floyd Kramer.
Yeah. How was it?
Off the scale, excellent.
Oh, man. Well, you know, you're a musician, for our listeners who don't know Coach Bob. So
well,
you really,
yeah.
So tell us, can kind of give us a little picture of the evening.
Well, I'll tell you what, always when you're at the auditorium, you know, it's kind of like a bucket of water. It looks like a lot of water until you throw it out into a gymnasium floor. And that's the way crowds are at the auditorium. It could have had 300 or 400 people for all I know, but when they're spread out all over that place, it doesn't look like that much of a crowd.
Okay.
However, that said, they were incredibly enthusiastic. The kid is superb. And you know, anybody, even Carl, can press down a piano key and make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody can play with the finesse and the style and the emotion that this young man does. And it was just superb. I went with the participants in this last year's senior idol, who you will recall, and she is a professional pianist. And she was just enthralled with him, as was I. I am not a piano player.
Well, this is
wonderful.
You know, we love to be able to any way that we can support the arts, and this concert series was brought to you by the Shasta County Arts Council, where they bring in people that, you know, I mean, who's Jason Coleman? And of course, I interviewed I can't think of her name right now, the gal in charge of the Shasta Arts Council.
Right.
And Jason Coleman is the grandson of Floyd Kramer. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's exactly correct.
So he did a tribute to his grandfather's music.
And he did it like Floyd Kramer was sitting on the stage.
Wow. Well, we're glad you had...
I got to tell you, it sends chills down your spine to hear things like Last Date and stuff that Floyd did, and the fact that he was the pianist on so many different top-notch recordings from the top stars of the business, not the least of which was most of Patsy Cline's stuff. It was just wonderful evening of music.
Well, for our listeners, when you hear that music, the piano that goes da-da-da-da-da on Crazy, that's his piano.
Yeah, that's correct.
And I think...
That's exactly right.
That's just to name a few.
Yeah. And he ran a, right at the end... He got everybody with this film clip he ran when he was 9 years old with his grandfather on the stage with, I think it was Tammy Wynette and somebody else on national TV. And he playing some song I don't remember the name of. You could see the touch that he had on the piano at nine.
Well, we
not just a mechanic.
There you go. So, I mean, I guess that's the kind of thing, that DNA that runs, you know, sometimes you
Bingo.
Just don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
But Coach Bob... We are always happy to hear from you, and I'm so glad you had a good time. All right.
I wish I could have time to be in the chat room, but I don't. I've got to get out of here and head out to J-O-B.
Well, thanks for weighing in on your experience last night. I'm so glad.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it very much.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
Thanks a lot, Coach Bob.
Another email on that subject is, we got something coming in that said, good morning, my family and I went to see a great little show, the second production for Paradox Productions, The Importance of Being Earnest. It's going to be performed again Friday and Saturday nights and Sunday afternoon. It's a 9-person cast with several young people, one of which I understand is one of the vocalists on your Linda Bott on the Spot jingle. The Center for Spiritual Living, 1905 Hartnell, and this emailer, John, it was $7 for adults, $5 for students and seniors. He said that means you and Carl can go for $12. Lol!
How do they know that?
Listed in the events section of the RS site. So thanks for weighing in and sharing out all of those good things with
us. You know,
there's
a lot of great things going on around here. And, I mean, yeah, a lot of it, you know, it's local, but this guy coming in, I talked to the young man. Wow, very, very impressive. Okay, we're going to take our news break, of course, and then we come back with Gary Cadd, who is our city council. He'll come back and tell us what happened and what the votes were and important things like that. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. The home of Free Fire Media, Carl KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:34 in the morning, January the 19th. This portion of the show brought to you by TNB. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Any type of cigar you can imagine, plus all types of tobacco accessories. Plus, they have espresso gels, where you can get coffee made the way you want it at very, very fair prices. An example of how Joe and Shelley support the community. A family lost their home last week in a house fire. It was a little girl, the little one-year-old's birthday yesterday, and Shelley hosted a birthday party for the little girl. And, you know, we have many people that work with us, and one of them is Maui Bob, who is a cleaning service and just does, first of all, just exceptionally good work. And Maui Bob walked in and handed me an envelope with a check in it for that family. And I can't say enough about them, about Maui Joe Bob. And Shelley and Maui Bob. And, mm-hmm. you know, I can't say enough about this city. You know, you all are great. Now, something happened. You know, we've been talking about this new ammunition law. Before we get to Gary Cadd, I have to talk about this. The new ammunition law that was going to force people to give their thumbprints. They were going to have to sign all these papers. And we were keeping track of who was buying ammunition, what caliber, and how much. It was supposedly just for handgun ammunition, but you know that was just the start. Well, we have a regular listener named Jimmy. And when I went off on McDonald's Happy Meals, he bought 5 Happy Meal certificates that we gave away. Well, what Jimmy did was he went down to Bastiani Arms and got gift certificates for that so we could give those away. Well, yesterday afternoon I got a call from Patrick Jones, was that a sheriff, one of the county sheriffs, had sued the state of California and said, wait a minute, this law is crazy. How are we supposed to enforce this law? It's too vague, and a judge agreed with them. So that law, my friends, is put on hold. The law, that new ammunition law where you have to give thumbprints and all that, has been put on hold, according to Patrick Jones, who gave me a call yesterday. So, Jimmy, I still have 2 certificates for Bastiani Arms that you can have back, or we can just kind of hold them for a special occasion, whatever you want. Okay, our guest today, and Jimmy, thanks a lot. I mean, you have a sense of humor like most people. You know, most people do not appreciate, how... little things like that just make us chuckle in the morning. That you've got people out there that go, hey, you know what? This is what you want to do, fine. Here's my protest about it. I'm going to give them away. All right. Our guest, our regularly scheduled city council guest, the man who has attended every meeting for the last 48 years since he retired at age 62, Gary Cadd.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here. And, having your ear to the ground.
Well, last night we had our ears to the city council.
Charter City.
But I'll tell you what, before we start on Charter City, I would like to mention that one other thing. The city manager had an oral update last night on the proposed state budget, which is where our governor is looking to take redevelopment money, which there's quite a chunk in the redevelopment agency here in the city of Reading. And the mayor had asked Mr. Starman, city manager, if there was some way that we could use some of this money, encumber it, I guess, to the point that the state wouldn't be able to take it. So I'm sitting there in the audience, and I thought, whoop. So I grabbed a blue card, and I went up, and when it was time for the people to speak, I got up, and I said, there's two parking structure loans that is owed to REU, Reading Electric Utility. These loans, one of them is 41 years old and the other one is 39 years old. So I just brought it back to their attention, although I've been doing this probably for a year and a half now, bringing this forward to them to get them to pay these loans off. City staff told the grand jury last spring that these probably never would be paid for. So I'm still putting pressure on to get that taken care of. Moving on to Charter City. The proposal was brought before the council last night for them to possibly make a decision on putting together a charter commission, charter committee. What they finally wound up doing was, after several motions that didn't pass, they finally passed a motion that was made by Mr. Bassetti, seconded by Mr. Jones, that the city would put together a committee to explore the issue, not to write it. Charter, but just to explore the issue, and it'd be 8 members, two apiece, but each councilman, and so they're going to move forward. They are instructed councilors to have their names into staff by next Tuesday, I believe, was the date, and then there's 4 months going to go by in the time of this committee is going to be meeting and having public hearings and listening to the people. There's a lot of things that can go on with Charter City. One thing that we know that San Francisco is a charter city, and they are in a world hurt. And this morning I was noticing on the San Francisco Chronicle that San Francisco is going to be owing an additional $100 million to CalPERS payment this next year.
And part of that is because the city charter has written right into it a 3.5% increase on cost of living every year for the city.
Yeah, just for you. But that's something that hopefully that when we put this charter together, if it passes, and again, I don't want people to think that I am just, you know, I'm wholeheartedly in support of this. I'm not. I don't know enough about it yet. I'm glad that we're having this committee. I want to listen to what's happening on this. But I would hope if we did go to a charter that we'd be smart enough not to write things in there like that, not knowing what the it should have a 3% cost of living if the the city coffers have this much money in them or something like that. Hey, we got to take a break real quick, Gary, and come back. If somebody has written to us in the chat room, they're having problems with the phone. The phone's working fine, it appears. So, I mean, we've had other people calling on it. Calling about Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Give us a call. Check it out. Get on the air.
You're listening to KCNR 1460.com. Taking your calls here, 605-4567. Currently 42 degrees. Going to be one of the most beautiful days at 67 with a sunny day. Time to get out your walking shoes and get out of the house, folks. Also, tonight is going to be a low of 42 with that fabulous full moon. It's 7:44 in the morning on this 19th. Oh, my gosh. This portion of the show is brought to you by Mike's Music, a place that you can learn to make beautiful music. Mike's Music and Sound. 243-3774. If you've been thinking about trying to learn to play the guitar or the piano, or you're just interested in finding out about music, musical instruments, lessons, go check it out. Locally owned, you're going to get really good information, and why not learn from the best? Mike's Music, 243-3774 on Cypress Avenue.
Our guest is Gary Cadd, and Gary comes in after every city council meeting. He is our man there. Anybody knows as much about the city council mechanics as he does, I'd be surprised to hear about it, including people who are probably on the city council right now. Let's go to the phones. John.
Good morning, Carl, Linda, Dad Bob, and Gary.
Good morning, John.
Hi.
And let me first off say there was a problem with the phone because I called in three times and it said your phone was no longer in service, so... But then the fourth time I got on, so here we are.
Well, you know what? Obviously, our phone lines are having problems because we had you blocked.
Really?
So are you calling from somebody else's phone number?
Well, of course you had me blocked, and why wouldn't you?
Oh, shoot.
Listen, I'm sorry.
Hey, John, we missed you. We haven't heard from you for a few days, my friend.
I was about to tell you, I told Gary earlier, my internet modem fried the other day, and I've been waiting for the new unit to get in, so I haven't been able to be on the chat room.
We've missed you.
And I miss you guys, too, of course, but I listen to the show every morning regardless.
Thank you. We figured you were walking on the trail in this beautiful weather.
Oh, you know what? I've been out every day doing my laps and my miles and my push-ups, and it's just been fantastic. It's like spring. Yeah. I can't believe it.
Okay, we're out of time there, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you later. No.
Okay,
real quick, sure. For Gary and about city council, I was never more disappointed in the city council than I was last night. It's worse than I've ever been. The combined intellectual mediocrity was never more apparent. It is no wonder we're as challenged as we are with the city. Now, Gary, perhaps you could comment on the council denying concerned citizens of Reading secondary public comment last night and yet extending it to a visitor from Elk Grove. The wrongness in that was just overwhelming. Care to comment?
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it would seem sometimes that the city council lets us talk for 3 minutes, and that's up and down. Staff gets to talk and go on and on and on. There are times when people in the public can stand up and make suggestions to the council to help them out of positions they get themselves in. Sometimes they have a problem with Robert's Rules of Order in conducting a meeting, but that's a little more on staff side. But you're right. Just in the speaking with the charter issue last night, it's obvious that council, no matter what comes forward in the charter, the city council wants their fingers on it. They want to feel the pulse of what's going on. So I don't know how you can say, okay, this is going to be the people's charter, the people, what the people want to put into the charter, when the final is going to come down to some of the members on the city council. We need changes within the city. Mr. Dickerson wanted reasons why we needed changes. There are varied, and there are many. But having said that, we can very dearly make a mistake by putting a charter together. So we have to be very careful and look at several issues. And one of the things is last night, a fellow from Elk Grove was up. They put together a charter, but did not have public input. He was on the charter commission, so he knows firsthand what happened. And we need to have the public come in, the public speak to what the public wants. And if the public wants to make a change that the city council or some members of the city council aren't in favor of, I believe that the citizens should win that debate. And
Gary, can you speak to one other issue? And because you addressed one of my major concerns, and that is that this is going to get out of the hands of the people, and already it's coming down to the input the city council is counting on is coming from staff, many of which will be negatively impacted by a city charter. Shouldn't the city charter concept really be developed outside of the council element, the staff element, altogether, and go on the ballot as an independent measure not sponsored by the council or the city?
Yes, I do believe that totally. I believe that you're exactly right on the money, that that the charter should be done by the people. City staff, city attorney will have no effect, or should have no effect, over a committee or a commission, whichever way you want to put it, and what they put together. As far as I'm concerned, to be quite truthful with you, Elk Grove said they spent $52,000 putting their charter together, and then the council decided not to use it because it was too onerous against the way you elect council members. But the thing with it is I believe that we can raise the money out of the community, and the community put a charter together, and then take it to council and have it put on the ballot. Or we can do a ballot initiative and go around and gather signatures and put it on that way, and we just go right around it. So there's a lot of different ways we can do it. But keep this in mind. There are 120 charter cities in the state of California. All of them, if you look at their charters, you can pick and choose the different items and different ways you want to go. But we need to be very careful. We can take care of the bell problem as far as raising their salaries. There's a lot of different ways of taking care of this problem. And smart people in Reading, outside of government, there's still a lot of smart people in Reading.
Okay.
We can also take care of the lack of communication between staff, council, and the public, and get some things accomplished that we haven't been able to get accomplished because we're not listened to by our representatives.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Hey, got to take a break. Hey, John, thanks so much for calling and still trying.
You're welcome.
When you we started, when somebody chatted with us saying that the phones were down, we started calling right then, and we'd had phone calls before and phone calls during, so maybe we just had a glitch right there.
I think there was just a glitch, but I'm glad we're back on.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
later.
John, thanks a lot. Hey,
have a great morning.
You bet. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back. Free Fire Radio, the home of Free Fire Media. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bot. 7:54 in the morning, January the 19th. It's going to be a great, great day. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. That's B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley that puts in Dish Satellite. He's a local guy. He's been in the business since 1985, except for the time he took off to be in the 82nd Airborne. That's 244-1988. Give him a call, and we have him at our house. We do Dish Satellite at our house, and he does a great job. That's Doug Tooley. That's B&T Satellite. He's moved downtown now, and he's got a new place. Used to be off Airport Road, and now he's at 1345 Liberty Street. But just call him, 244-1988. We recommend Doug. He's done great work for us.
Our guest this morning is Gary Cadd, and, of course, he was at city council meeting last night.
I was.
The biggest thing on people's lips is a charter city. So let's continue on and go on with your thoughts. Or should we go to the phones? I think maybe Gary has a question. Let's go to Gary.
Gary, you're on. Gary.
Good morning, Gary.
All right, let's go to Charles. Gary hung up. Let's go to Charles.
Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Gary.
Oh, hi, Gary.
Wait a minute. What's going on? Okay. We're cool.
Bad boy.
Another Gary.
Okay. Yeah.
Gary.
Hey, Gary, you have
morning,
a question.
No, I just want to second what has been previously said about the city council and the dearth of common sense or any sense at all. Gary, it did a yeoman's job as usual and is probably too sharp for most of them. And I will name names, if I may. Dickerson put himself out there as a lightning rod, and as Greg Mann said, Dickerson is afraid of the people. He asked him, what are you afraid of? Sullivan has no clue. She obfuscates and goes all the way around the subject, and she wants the foxes to guard the chicken coop because she is relying solely on staff, and you know that staff wants to protect their jobs because if charter goes through with a lot of ideas, some of them are going to be out of their high-paying jobs. So anyway, the public was there and stood up, and I still think that the city council, as a council, denied the public what should have transpired. So anyway, I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you very much for taking my call. Bye.
All right, Gary, thanks.
How many people were there last night, Gary?
Oh, place was packed.
That's what I thought. You know, we know
part of that was for the drag strip issue, though. The some of those folks said.
What about the drag strip issue?
Well, the city's just renewing a contract, and they're also getting ready to put in their second runway.
Okay.
Third runway,
for the drag
is
strip?
Out there. So the drag strip probably is going to have to be moved sometime in the future. But some of them were there for that. But there was people that spoke last night. There was 30 people who spoke, 22 in favor of a charter, in uh-huh. favor of looking at a charter.
Yeah, that's
the
why
issue.
I think it should be done.
And then eight were spoke against it.
Well, when we think about it, you know, the three that voted for it to go ahead and look at this was, of course, Bassetti. And Jones, of course, and then Dick Dickerson
mm-hmm.
said, hey, let's move forward. Missy MacArthur said, and Francie said, no. What was their reasoning behind that?
Well, in essence, their reasoning is they don't want this issue to get away from them. They want control of the issue and how the issues are put together. And Missy's saying that she doesn't have enough information. Well, that's I got on the internet and looked all over and found all kinds of charters and been looking at them and looking at different sections of charters. So as far as not getting information, it's available. And if you're going to wait for staff to get it to you, that's going to be what Mr. DuVernay wants you to see.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing somebody said here is that why don't you put the drag strip at Stillwater? I like it. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Charles, we have 1 minute.
Yeah.
1 minute, Charles.
I got up and because I wanted to, I spoke on the issue of disciplinary action against and employee misconduct and how important it is to have a charter would make that easier.
Yeah, to discipline
because
people.
Because General
yeah.
Law City. You know, it's nearly impossible, as we all know, and some of the council people were saying, well, you know, that's
Charles.
Disrespectful of staff. Well, that's
right.
Not disrespectful of staff.
That's, that's holding them, holding their feet to the fire. Right. Hey, Charles.
Disrespectful of
right.
the town in which
Charles.
We have one.
Right. Charles,
thank
we've
you.
Run out of time right here. Thanks for your phone call. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest when we come back will be Sheriff Tom Basinko.
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, January the 19th, 8:05 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming at KCNR1460.com. go to the website, click on air, and then jump into the chat room with us and roll around with the rest of us in here.
Currently 42 degrees on this beautiful day. It's going to be high of 67, sunny and clear with a low of 42 tonight. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, 474-5546. Make your reservations for dinner and or if you want to have a special Valentine getaway. They're booking up. I hear there's just a few more reservations left for 2 o'clock and a 4 o'clock brunch. With Candice Lavolsi, a 5-course meal and a bottle of wine is included per couple. So I'm telling you, that is the place to be on Valentine's weekend.
And before we get to our guest, Sheriff Tom Vasenko, today the Congress is voting, the House of Representatives is voting on that health care bill to repeal the health care bill that was passed last year. The country's pretty split up. When I say split, when they do the surveys about, you know, some say leave it the way it is. Most people, you know, when you ask the questions is, you know what, we need to have changes in the healthcare system, but not all of these. Not something that's going to cost us everything, so it needs to be looked at real close. I'm glad that we are going back and looking at the healthcare plan. The one survey, however, that is near unanimous is that nearly two-thirds of U.S. doctors surveyed fear healthcare reform could worsen care for patients by flooding their offices and hurting their income. The survey of more than 2,900 doctors found many predict the legislation will have a severe impact on their patients and them. Every doctor I have talked to, and, you know, okay, I haven't talked to 2,900, but I've probably talked to 15 or 20, and there isn't one of them that doesn't agree that something, you know, that this is going to have a negative impact on health care. Anyway. But having a positive impact on our community is our guest, Sheriff Tom Vasenko.
Good morning, Carl. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
How are you?
So glad we're here. We said before you even sat down, we are glad you are our sheriff because, you know what, when you have somebody in a place of authority, you always want to be able to get a hold, have somebody who's accessible. And here we love the fact that you come on Free Fire Radio in the morning once a month to be able to engage with our listeners and our chat room and answer questions that are really, time sensitive.
Well, thank you very much. I think it's incumbent upon our elected officials to be accessible to the citizens and to our constituents to hear their concerns on issues that impact us all.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing, not a funny thing, it's a great thing that most of our elected representatives here in the city and county are like that, with an exception of one, that have, you know, will come on the show and answer the questions from their constituents. But I tell you, before we get started, because we have just a big list of things that we want to talk about, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll start with, how about the dumping of parolees in Shasta County? I think this is something that people want to hear about. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460.com. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:12 in the morning on January the 19th. It's going to be a great day today. It's going to be up there in the high 60s. Oh, our guest is Sheriff Tom Vasenko on his regularly scheduled appearance on Free Fire Radio. We love having the sheriff here. Sheriff, you gave me a note, and it just kind of like, even though it was written in, you know, just regular letters, it reached out and poked me in the eye. Prison dump, parolee dump. Talk to me about this.
Well, what's happening with the state budget? The prison system is overcrowded, and part of the plan of the state they're also under federal mandate to try and lower their prison population, is to try and push prison population back to the counties. And one of their proposals is to have people who are sentenced to 3 years or less do county time. Well, where are you going to put them? Because almost 40 counties out of our 58 have capacity issues in their jails or have to release them just like us. We have capacity issues, and we've closed the floor of the jail because we can't afford to operate it due to our budgets. Its impact statewide. Many sheriffs have ended up doing that statewide. And then part of this plan is to push the parolee population back to the counties, most likely probation. And probation statewide has been eviscerated with budget cuts. And so who's going to supervise these people and who's going to pay for it? The state says they'll pay for it, but they already owe many of the counties money, too, for mental health, putting parolees in jail while they're waiting to go back to prison. So they owe the counties millions of dollars statewide.
Already. And so they're saying is, okay, we want you to take care of these guys that have got less than 3 years in jail to do. We don't have the room for them. So, I mean, if they bring them back here, what do we do? Is this kind of like a lottery that says, okay, you're less criminal than this guy, and we're going to turn you loose?
Well, we have a system, a matrix system similar to that right now for our capacity releases. And if you're arrested for a misdemeanor, you're not likely to stay in the jail. Even lightweight felons, you will look at their propensity for violence, and that's what usually keeps them there. But that would be a huge issue statewide. And these would probably be parolees coming back to Shasta County anyway, people that we've sent to prison as a result of the court system.
Well, so us take care of them, but not give us the money to do it.
Or they say they will, but I'm sure the infamous check would be in the mail.
Well, yeah, since they already owe us millions.
Right.
Well, this isn't something that we need to be up on.
For the last few years, myself and the California State Sheriff's Association, chiefs, probation officers, chiefs of police, that's been a huge issue, and we're always staying connected with the state and the secretary of the California Department of Corrections and Rehab, Matt Cate, and his staff. He's been very accessible because this is a concern that impacts everyone.
Well, when I see this, you know, I saw this before when this was one of the proposals in this new budget, among other things, and cutting $12 million out of the veterans programs, which we'll get to at some point.
Right.
Not today. That to me also was like, you know, where, you know, all these things are cutting back on the education, which a lot of people will say, you know, we need to put money in the education, take care of the kids, and that could help solve some of the problems in jails. And I think that's one of the things you've talked about before.
Yep.
Okay, so the possibility is that we're going to get, would you say hundreds?
I think there's about 1,800 or so persons that are on parole right now in Shasta County. And remember, those are people that we've sent to prison coming back, so they're not dumping out-of-county people here.
Right.
And I can't remember how many people we get back on a yearly basis. I'd have to check that number. I don't want to speculate and be wrong.
Okay. So we're still talking about hundreds, though.
Yeah.
Hundreds coming back that now we have to take care of with our limited assets.
I think they're living in the, some of those are living in the end of our street.
That could be. Okay. Okay.
Oops, I'm sorry. Did that sound judgmental?
No, it sounds very true. Vehicle licensing fee.
Mm-hmm. That's called VLF.
Right.
And right now, a portion of our public safety funding comes from vehicle license fee. It's about a 15% of your vehicle registration. Well, that's set to expire on June 30th if it does not get extended. Now, there's some legislation trying to extend that, and then that also may end up, if it gets approved for the special election that the governor wants to have in June. Just in Shasta County, when that sunsets, if it doesn't get extended for Shasta County Sheriff's Office, that's about a $1.5 million hit. For the county, if you include the district attorney and probation, that's about another $1.5 million for a total of $3 million. And then you just add zeros as you get to the bigger counties, like Orange County Sheriff's Office, that's about a $30 million hit for them.
Well, you know, it's people, when I was talking about this before with the VLF, and they said, well, sounds like I'm advocating, you know, tax raises. And what I was talking about was, no, I don't advocate raising taxes, but what I need to also look at is before we extend anything, which was a tax that's supposed to sunset, let's take a good look at everything else out there. But let's look at the impact. Also, I mean, this is not a new tax. It's one that's been in there. And, you know, if dropping this is going to cause a Wild West scenario in Shasta County, more so than it is, then, you know what, I'd rather continue paying this if the money comes directly to us. If it goes into some kind of general fund or something.
It's designated strictly for public safety, DA, probation, and sheriffs. And exactly right. What are the impacts? If it doesn't happen, there's going to be severe consequences, and those consequences are cuts in services, very likely layoffs for many of the, especially the rural counties. Part of that money pays for about $420,000, what's called rural sheriff's funding. Take for counties like Modoc, Trinity, Lassen, Plumas, the smaller counties. That's a huge impact to their budget. It's a huge impact to the Shasta County Sheriff's budget as well. Oh. And we've been cut and cut and cut. There's no place else to cut except in services and personnel.
Okay. Hey, we have to take a quick break here. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basinko. We're talking about the proposed budget that's coming up. There's been the cuts that the governor is trying to make or has proposed making has impacted on so much on everybody. And even now, just letting some of our fees that we're paying that people agreed to before, letting them sunset could have a huge impact on us, too. You know, the question is has the governor really, really looked at everything he can cut out before that we start raising taxes or extending fees? Sheriff Tom Basinko is here giving us his take on this is what happens. It's just it's black and white to Tom. It's you have this much money.
No pun intended, huh?
Right. It's just strictly in the figures that it's going to be, you know, if you don't have the money, you don't have the services. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Here on KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 8:23 in the morning, January the 19th.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew.
You said it first.
Yes, and we love Espresso Joe's. Inside of Tobacco and Brew, where the girls there will make you coffee of any kind. It's the best deal in coffee you're going to get in the North State. They are amazing. And, of course, Carl loves the walk-in humidor. Tobacco and Brew, Hilltop Drive.
Okay, question.
Speaking of Hilltop Drive...
Speaking of Hilltop Drive, we're going to get to that in a second. I'm trying to read this one from Indie Guy. Okay, Indie Guy wants to know if the federal government, law enforcement, are moving in at all into the county trying to usurp your authority.
No. In fact, we with the federal authorities, such as U.S. Forest Service, DEA, FBI, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, we all have a very good working relationship. And for the federal authorities, they cannot enforce state laws, like out of the penal code, unless they have permission or granted the authority by the sheriff, and that's statewide. So they can only, enforce federal laws or on federal property, like with U.S. Forest Service, federal laws while they're on what we call Greenland, U.S. Forest Service properties, unless they've been given that permission.
Okay, now, and if you want to, you could say, no.
That's exactly right. It's revocable as well.
Well, good. So we talked about the amount of power a county sheriff has. It's tremendous. People don't seem to realize that there's only two people in the state that can call up their own posse or a group of citizens and have volunteers.
That's still in the books. That dates back to the early 1800s, or if you see it on old westerns where the sheriff rounds up a posse, that still could happen. Very rarely now with what we up against and the training and liability that's all required. But even so, if a person is on the struggle on the street and an officer says, hey, I need some help here, and a person refuses, that's actually a crime because that is summoning a person to assist him,
yeah.
Much like a posse.
Sure. Okay. Another question was when the, and it's going by so fast, it's about assuming the security for the county courts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that coming up?
No, not for Shasta County. Shasta County and Trinity County are one of only two counties in the state which still has a marshal's office. And that marshal's office is an extension of the court. Their responsibility is court security. Every place else in the state, the other 56 counties, it's the responsibility of the sheriff. That won't change.
Okay, so nothing's going to change on that.
Not in Shasta County.
Okay. One of the things that came up, too, was the business watch. Can we talk a little bit about that? We had somebody tell us yesterday, and we've since passed that information mm-hmm. on to you. Now, they've had the same
I think it's
people.
Important that we alert yeah. our listeners, yeah, because that's important yeah. about the witness, how important it is to be a witness. If you know these people, this is just something that we heard yesterday from a business owner about three individuals who were trying to do the scam game, and this
steal jewelry
particular person that we know was able to catch it before it happened, but just a few doors down, as well as some other jewelers in town, they have been hit by these three people. It's a woman and two men, and we've got the license plate at home, Sheriff, so we'll make sure that we pass that information along.
And that's very important for the citizens and business people to be our eyes and our ears. And Business Watch, the program by the Sheriff's Office and the Police Department, if we know of incidents that are occurring or we get information, we can pass it out either by fax or email of information to all the businesses, such as maybe a person passing bad checks, and then that can get out to the businesses and they can be aware of it, or scam artists coming in. So we can inform the businesses so they can be our eyes and our ears, and so they're not impacted with getting hit with thefts or bad checks as well.
Are you seeing a rise in any of these, you know, crimes like this? The bad check passing.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of it.
Yeah, thefts, I think, are on the rise, so they may not get reported. I spoke to a person yesterday. Their home had been burglarized, and they had come in and stolen a significant amount of guns from their place. And so it's very important to take the precautions, lock your home, lock your car, keep your valuables out of sight. They went through the extra precautions, but in this particular one, the house still got hit. And, of course, record the serial numbers of a valuable piece of property or firearms. Jewelry is hard to describe. Take a digital picture of it and then have it somewhere for law enforcement. It's hard to envision your description of a ring. And I can usually draw stick people, so I'm not a very good artist at drawing jewelry. So.
Well, we had some friends that we have a question that's come in as well. And we had friends that were burglarized by someone inside their family and their trusted circle. I'm sure, well, they know that these people had a drug habit. And so they actually were able to crawl underneath the house and with a circular saw go through the cement into the safe.
Wow.
And I saw a picture of it, and it was about a foot deep from the cement to, well, maybe not that, but it looked like that. But it wasn't a large stand-up safe, and it wasn't a small safe. It was in between, but I saw
was
the before and after.
Was it a medium-sized safe?
Yeah, it was just right.
Well, obviously, it wasn't just right. It wasn't just right, honey, because they got a 2-carat diamond ring.
Wow.
And they knew about it, so it was an inside job.
We do see a lot where family members and friends of family come in and steal from the house. A lot of times prescription drugs are a focus. And then, of course, jewelry and firearms and some electronics are a major focus on very common things to be stolen in household burglaries.
One of the questions is it true most of the burglaries happen during the middle of the day?
Many of them do, or when you're away. A lot of course, with today's society, most of the time, both people work in a household. And that's the same for neighborhoods, mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important. If the people can afford it, it's still very good precaution to lock up your valuables and firearms in a gun safe, and they're pretty affordable nowadays.
Yeah, we have a lot of our stuff in our safe. And plus the fact of, I noticed I'm starting to see more of the
home security systems.
Systems.
Even some you can buy and plug into your own computer.
Yeah. Okay, we've got to take a news break here.
We've got more questions coming in after the break.
This is Carl Linnabot. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basenko, and we're going to be talking about other items that are important to our community. Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:34 in the morning on January the 19th. It's going to be a beautiful day today. It's going to be up in the 60s. Sunshiny, a little bit of wind. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Yes, my favorite place to get my haircut, right off Athens Avenue. The gents there, DC Tim, and of course the mysterious man in black, give great haircuts, great prices, and if you are a veteran, they give you a discount. That's right, a discount. So, you go to Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold. Let me say it again, Man's Last Stronghold for your haircut. Our guest, Sheriff Tom Basenko. Welcome.
Good morning,
back, Tom. Okay, one of the questions that came in is cash for gold being used as a quick fence.
Whoever asked that question, they're exactly right. You see a lot of the advertisements on TV for a variety of businesses, and there are some businesses locally. And right now, we're looking at, the California State Sheriff's Association, I propose that they have some criteria to tighten up the current laws and the way that's done. Because essentially, thieves can steal your jewelry, put it in a plastic bag, ship it off to some other state, and they get pennies on the dollar for your jewelry, and there's really no way of tracking that.
And there isn't. I mean, at least here in town, I think they have to take a person's name and a license number, don't they?
They're supposed to.
Your
Better Business people will be, of course, following the law. The ones that are maybe a little less more scrupulous and nefarious, they may not do that. And then, of course, the jewelry is the stones are removed from it, and it's quickly melted down, and then it just becomes a profit for them.
Well, you know, and we hear in, we have several of our national shows, or not several, but I know at least on one of our national shows that this is one of their ads is Cash for Gold.
And, you know, that is an actual business, and I'm not saying that all these businesses are bad. There's some very good and legitimate people out there and with some ethics and integrity and to comply with the law, but there are those that are kind of the underbelly of society and operate illegally.
Well, how can people, I mean, if they send off jewelry, do they have to prove it's there somehow?
No.
That's what I mean. I mean, to me, it's just, you know, it's just a way for people on the other end to get a lot of jewelry cheap from that doesn't, you know, that's stolen.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly
all
right.
All right. Enough of that. Okay, Neighborhood Watch.
Neighborhood Watch is a great program. We have it within the county, and all it is neighbors getting together to be watchful of each other. Most people in today's society don't necessarily know who their neighbors are or anything about them when they're going on vacation and stuff. And that can certainly help to be our eyes and our ears around town. We, as police officers, kind of love nosy neighbors because they can be a witness to a crime or seeing a suspicious vehicle. In the rural areas, it's worked out well with people using the internet, emailing and putting out little newsletters of, hey, there was a suspicious vehicle that I saw coming down our road. It may not be a well-populated one, but they get it out via an email tree and a phone tree of sharing that information and what's in the neighborhood, and it can lead to investigations for us if there was a burglary in the area and that was a suspicious vehicle and they got a license number. So that is helpful.
Okay, so would people call the sheriff's office and just say, hey, look, we'd like to start a neighborhood watch out here in Mill Valley? And
that's in the Bay Area, but Happy Valley is here in Shasta County.
Can we deputize?
Isn't there a Mill Valley? Isn't there a Mill something?
Millville.
Right? Millville, that's what I meant. If out here in Millville.
This is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm going to say it anyway. Can you deputize, as a sheriff, citizens that aren't in law enforcement like they used to do in the Wild West?
Our search and rescue volunteers have a limited amount of authority for that. And so, yes, we do. We swear them in, and they're very helpful for us. And in regards to Carl's question for Neighborhood Watch, yeah, they can call in. We have a volunteer out of Cottonwood, and they come and make a presentation at someone's home if they get their neighbors together on Neighborhood Watch specifically.
Okay, so then you can put together a group of people, or a neighborhood can, and then have you all come out and give the classes and all this. You know, we talked to this to Chief Hansen, too, is that with the cuts and everything, and this isn't going to go away right away, and it could get worse, that putting citizens on patrol, I hate saying that, but, you know, citizens out in county vehicles or city vehicles to drive around,
mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility?
We already do it here in Shasta County and have for many, many years. We have our Citizens Volunteer Patrols, CVPs, and they're in Shasta Lake City, Shingletown.
In the patrol cars?
They're in their own patrol car that says Citizens Patrol.
Okay.
And they drive around, and they, again, I don't want to like sound like a broken record, but they are our eyes and our ears.
Right.
They do vacation checks. They go to community events. They help us with traffic control. A great, great resource. Down in Cottonwood, Happy Valley, Shingletown, Fall River, Burney, it's a great old Shasta. So they're very helpful for us, and we're glad we have them. Some very dedicated people.
That's great.
Okay, well, let's weigh in on we're going to take a break, and we're going to tell you, the listener, for those alarms or alerts that are coming in from the chat room of people. I just think it's important, again, to kind of say things over the air a little bit so that people can think, oh, that happened. We're going to be right back. Carl and Linda Bott here, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Tom Basenko. 1960. This is Free Fire Radio. Carl and Linda Bott here. Good morning. Beautiful day out right now. Currently 41 degrees. Going to be high today of 62. A gorgeous sunny day with a clear of 42 tonight. You guys, again, really it's time to get outside and take a walk and really see the beautiful sun and outside weather and, of course, the moon tonight. We had a go ahead.
This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, 244-1988. Doug Tooley has moved to 1345 Liberty Street right here in town from the airport area. Gives great service. It's Dish Satellite. We use him at our house. He is a professional. He uses local people. He's a local guy and a veteran. Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite, Dish Satellite, 244-1988.
Okay, we had a weigh-in on the in the chat room. And when I say a weigh-in, a comment, actually, and I think it was a great, another one of those little alerts, Rayleigh's and Hartnell, there's also a group of, and all of the employees were on alert as this as well. I guess there's a couple people or a group that are stealing groceries out of the baskets. So I'm not sure how they're doing that, but it's something that you need to know. And I was telling the sheriff here before we took a break that, you know, I when I grew up, my mom always said, stay over your purse, and you put your purse where the little kid, you know, area is on the top of the cart. I never think about closing my purse, but more and more now that, you know, it's just important to just be mindful of the fact that in a second, if you've got your purse open, somebody can just take it when you've just got your back turned. So just a little.
It can happen really quick, and if you've got your purse open, they can just reach in, grab your wallet. Your purse is still there, and you think everything's okay, and it's gone. Or they can snatch the whole purse. It's gone. And when you're putting those groceries in the car, it's pretty easy to someone to run by, grab a bag, and they're rolling on down the road with probably close to $100 of groceries in a bag.
Well, we have a lot on our minds, and I think that we're in a busy society. You know, we just have got, like, the checklist. And when we do that, we aren't thinking about, really, I think, our surroundings. And so what this is, again, is just a reminder this morning with the sheriff about watch your surroundings, be secure, lock your door, lock up your guns, your ammunition, as well as your jewelry, and just be mindful of the fact that there's criminals out there, and it's happening every day, according to our chat room, and you are faced with it, obviously, on a regular basis.
Be alert. Situational awareness.
Ammo law, AB 962.
Yes, that was passed this last year, signed into law to take effect on February 1st, which restricts internet purchases of ammunition, and then also would require people to leave their fingerprint and sign for pistol ammunition. And then fortunately, it was just declared unconstitutional, and so we'll see where it goes from there. I think that was a decision out of a Fresno court. I don't know if it was it a federal court?
I think it was a federal court. I believe it was. That's what. But I could be wrong about that. But the thing on it is that that if they don't give money from the state level to enforce that, to come down to for you to enforce that.
Well, that was a state law that was passed. I thought it was from a Fresno Superior Court.
Oh, maybe it's okay. Maybe that's it. But what they said, it was too vague. I mean,
right.
How? And the other thing too about, you know, giving my thumbprint to buy a box of 22 ammunition and go next door and buy a pound of marijuana, even though it's medicinal reasons.
Yes.
It's, you know, for me, it never did same kind of equate there. But so, okay, so right now that law is on hold. We don't have to understand it. I mean, but with that, or we don't have to abide by it.
Well, it depends on how the businesses and, of course, the AG will interpret that. I know, like, there's a major outdoor place that was going to stop its internet sales effective January 21st to California.
Almost all of them have. In fact, I was getting things in the mail that just said, this is your last chance to buy.
Right.
And but that's a...
And back in the 1960s, we had a similar law. I think it was after the Kennedy shooting, in which you had to sign your name and everything to buy any type of ammunition. And to my knowledge,
that
never did solve any crimes or prevent a crime.
The whole thing is strange. You don't. And in fact, I just see with the Sacramento, the sheriff, the new sheriff in Sacramento,
Scott Jones.
Scott Jones is now issuing concealed carry permits. That was one of the his planks in his platform.
That was
he ran
a
on.
Hotly contested issue in Sacramento County, and I think both of the candidates made reference that they would be more lenient or understanding on the issuing of CCWs, concealed weapon carry.
No, the.
My hometown.
Well, you know, I think, again, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you're not, you know, you're not a felon, you're not somebody that's under some kind of, you know, restraining order or anything like that, why shouldn't you be able to do that?
It takes a fair amount of training and some background check to get a CCW. And you have to fill out an application, a multi-page application, and ask some questions. One of it is a statement of good cause of why you want a why you want to carry concealed. You have to undergo an an 8-hour class of training offered by many instructors here in Shasta County. And then you have to pay your fees and do a background check, and then that also has to get approved by the state to make sure you're not a felon or anybody that's restricted in having it. And then it's issued.
Well, you also have an interview with one of your people that,
looks
at, I mean, he has a look at everybody that wants it. I mean, he's a trained, obviously he's trained, and he's looking at the person and asking questions. I mean, it isn't like it's just all done via computer.
No, it's just not rubber stamped or anything. Some sheriffs are very restrictive on what they issue for CCWs. Others, like myself, are more understanding. I think we have about 2,300 to 2,500 CCWs in Shasta County.
Oh, that's less than I thought. I thought it was like 4,000 or something.
Kern
like
County is the leader in the state, and they're right around 4,000 CCWs.
Well, I tell you what, Shasta County, here's our chance to be number one.
I think
let's go on out. You know what? Let's you know what? I bet we could do 4,000 easy, maybe even 5,000 if we just put our mind to it.
I've encouraged a few of my girlfriends. We're going to take a break, but I do want to talk about taking classes in mastering your weapon. We'll be right back.
I won't back down. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bodd, our last segment here, 8:52 in the morning, January the 19th. Our guest is Sheriff Tom Basinkle. We've talked about the vehicle licensing fee. We've talked about the prison and parolee dump possibility. Thefts and burglaries.
That's easy for you to say.
I can't even say that. The thefts at our stores, Business Watch, the ammo law. Now we have Bob on line one. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning.
Hi, Bob.
I have a question. Thanks for taking your time out and come on the radio like this. Explains a lot of stuff. But I have two questions. One is, what is a good cause for a CCW, I mean, other than, you know, self-defense?
Right.
And what would be, say Obama called you up tomorrow and said, I would like to be the drug czar. How would you go about solving the drug problem?
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. For your first question, the initial cost for a CCW is pushing $350. You have to take your 8-hour class from a private vendor here that gives you a certificate, and I think those are around $160. And then the first permit fees with your fingerprint fees for the application is right around $120 or $30. So it's pretty close to $350. That's a 2-year permit. And then every 2 years you have to take a renewal class of 4 hours. And then I think that's around $80 locally, but of course the infamous price is subject to change. Please check with your local instructor. And good cause, it varies from county to county, but basically if it's something close to comply with the law and to protect self and others, that you're in the ballpark there.
Okay, and then the second question?
The other part was
if the
president called me up, which I don't think my phone's going to ring anytime soon, but if he called me up and wanted me to be the drug czar and solving the problem of drugs, that is a pretty big hurdle there. It does include you just can't do the arrests and lock everybody up and convict them to crimes. We don't have enough prisons and jails for that. So it would include education. It would include prevention. It would include rehab, but you also need enforcement and incarceration for drug dealers, for the people that just don't get the message.
Okay. All right, Sheriff. The last question we have here is on the Law Enforcement Museum. Somebody had called us about that.
Yeah, earlier there was a call on what do I think about a Law Enforcement Museum. I think that's great. Shasta County is steeped in history. We incorporated as a county in 1850. And so City of Reading has been there for a long time, too, as well as our other outlying areas. I think it would be great to have something like a law enforcement museum. I know locally that the veterans are working on a museum as well out by the airport and the veterans home that's soon to be there.
Yeah, Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum, Rob Burrows
has
done that.
I think we in Shasta County, it was the Ruggles brothers that was the last hanging in the state, if I'm not mistaken, pretty sure, or at least in Shasta County. And that was back in the 1800s as well, maybe the 1900s.
Late 1800s, I think, on that.
Something like that. So there's a lot of history here of stagecoach robberies and sheriffs throughout history. There was a sheriff in the early 1900s that was killed with a piece of firewood in a jail escape as well there. So that'd be kind of neat to do. And then just the artifacts. I have some old leg irons that are on display in the sheriff's office and kind of tools of the trade, if you will. So that'd be a great project.
Yeah, it could be. And you may not want to use county funds right now or state funds.
What funds?
Yeah, what funds? hey, we always appreciate you coming in here, Tom, on this to talk about things that are going on with our law enforcement and the outlook on it. I mean, especially now when times are tough.
Yeah. In those tough times, I have to give some kudos to our Shasta County Board of Supervisors because they have to look at the county as a whole, and they have some very tough decisions, a very limited amount of money on what they have to do with their job for the county budget, and they're being impacted. The county budget as a whole is being impacted a lot from the state as well. So they have some tough decisions as well, but as elected officials, they're there to listen also and get input from the community.
That's their job. I mean, if you want to run for office and that you're being, you know, especially the county supervisors, you're paid to make these hard decisions, make the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And if they aren't listening, then we have a problem, more of a problem there.
Right.
With the last couple of minutes, is there any outlook here for the next few months, or just kind of waiting for this budget shoe to drop?
Well, we're not waiting for it. We're taking some proactive measures. I have a budget meeting with my command staff, my captains and lieutenants tomorrow, and we're looking at what the impact would be for about a $1.5 million to $2 million hit to the sheriff's office, and where do we make those cuts on trying to get a jump on it, because I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm not necessarily going to hold my breath that this VLF thing gets extended. And we have to have plans in place when we're going to budget.
It may not be extended. And, you know, I mean, in fact, in the climate of what's going on, when people look at all the money that that our state government wastes, I mean, it could not pass.
I'm not going to be wringing my hands and just say, okay, well, I hope it passes, because I think
you've got to be proactive.
We have to have some preparation and chance favors a prepared mind.
Well, that's, you know what, that's preparation is the key to success. And if we can find some way of extending what we have, or just holding what we have,
right,
kind of figure out how to do that. So anyway, Sheriff Tom Besenkel, thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure.
Always appreciate you coming on, and I know the people do too. And it's and to be able to hear what you want, what you think about things, and then ask and answer every one of the questions that people have asked.
You bet.
Tomorrow,
thank you, Sheriff.
Hey, you're tomorrow welcome. Our guest is going to be the brand new district attorney, Steve Carlton. We'll be here tomorrow. We want to talk to Steve about what he envisions for the district attorney's office here in Shasta County. And if there's going to be any changes, well, obviously there will be changes, because that's why he ran, is to make a lot of changes to the district attorney's office. What impact will it have on us? It will be a great time, a great chance for you to ask him questions. Steve's been on our show several times before and answered all questions that came into him. So, again, an elected official that responds to the people. I really, you know what, I can't say enough about that.
Oh, thank you very much. Excuse me. Thank you, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, you and the others. Well, thank you very much. Okay, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.